Welcome to the weekly webcast. Each week, these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message and that you share it with a friend. This morning, Pastor John continues a series entitled The Demonic World. Lucifer was the ruler of the earth before the war in heaven. Prior to Adam and Eve, this planet was populated with cities and kingdoms, and the devil created devastation by pitting these people against each other, causing the earth to become like a wilderness. He also traveled to every angel civilization and convinced one-third of the angels to join his cause to dethrone God. A succession of battles was fought across the universe, and the space war ended with Lucifer's final stand on earth. The Bible doesn't give a timeline for how long this war lasted, but we do know that Lucifer was sentenced to the lake of fire, and humanity was created to prove God's righteousness afterwards. This message is entitled, The Great Space War. Now, let's join Pastor John as he begins today's message.
Praise the Lord and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church Worldwide. And we have a series that is called The Demonic World. And this is part number two called The Great Space War. Let's pray. My Heavenly Father, I want to thank you and praise you right now for anointing me as I bring this message. I pray, Father God, that people will understand, they'll be able to take action, and that, Lord, we shall be able to defeat the enemy and not us being defeated. I pray for clarity right now in all of our minds. And this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. During World War II, which was the greatest war that has ever taken place on this earth, after Adam and Eve, the Germans had a machine called Enigma. And the Enigma was a very sophisticated, this was pre-microchip, was mechanical, and it was a fairly large piece of equipment. And so you would have that in a submarine, you would have that in an office in Germany where they want to get things out. They had radio, that's how they communicated. And so they would take this, a message, they put it into the machine, would encrypt it, send it via radio signal to the submarines, the ships, the troops, wherever they were. And there were people there that receive it, they run it through their machine, and they were able to decode it. Now, the United States and England knew that we need to break that code. So with the help of some Polish mathematicians that they had taken out from Poland to England, they were able to break the code. So when the Germans would send their message up encoded, the Allies sat in England and they decoded it. And thus, they were able to blunt everything the Germans did. Now, the British and the American military simply said this: it is vital that the Germans do not know that we have broken the code. We don't want them to know that we read all their communication. So it was clamped down on only very few people in different military circles knew that. It was a guarded secret. And that's why it went so badly for the Germans. Because whatever they did, the Allies knew it, and they simply blocked it, bombed it, did this, did that, and the Germans couldn't figure out Who is talking? They were. Now, this is how the devil works. First of all, he says, I don't exist. Fallen angels do not exist. Evil spirits do not exist. I have a master's degree in theology. I was at the seminary for 3 years. I didn't have one class, one lecture on the devil. I never had one class talking about fallen angels. I never had a class on evil spirits or demons. On the contrary, the professor said, you know, there really is no devil. There's no such thing as demons. And they simply said, you know, you got to understand that Jesus simply was ignorant. He was a man of his time. People were superstitious at the time when Jesus was here. And Jesus just played along with them. So when you read in Matthew, Luke, and John, and Mark about demons, remember this, they don't exist. Jesus was fantasizing. So don't worry about it. If you got some people in the congregation, got mental problems, they got demonic problems, you know what to do with them. Send them to the shrink. They got the right medication for them. But don't try to do anything as a pastor because this stuff doesn't exist. I would say that 99% of pastors today in the United States, Western Europe, this is how they think. This is how they believe. So the devil says, I like this. They think I don't exist. Wonderful. They don't know that demons are among them. Great. This is a slaughter. It is a slaughter. Look upon the drug problem we have in this country. Look upon the devastation. Look upon the suicides. So, what I'm trying to do now in this series is to show you the opposition. We're going to read a couple of scriptures here first from Isaiah 45. And I've really left over here from last week. I'm just going to hit on it. God has always existed. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, they have always existed. They do not have a beginning or an end. The Godhead is eternal. God's not age. He's always the same. This blows our mind. We can't figure this out. But this is the way it is. In Isaiah 45, verse number 21, we read this. Tell you and bring them near. Yea, let them take counsel together. Who has declared this from ancient time? Who has told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? And there is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior. There is none beside me. Look unto me, and be you saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else. Chapter 46, and we pick it up here in verse 9. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. Let's establish this one more time. We have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They are eternal. They have no beginning. They have no end. They are eternal. You and I cannot understand. I can't understand it because who created God? Somebody got to start something because that's how we are wired. But God has always existed. No one made him. He is supreme. How vast is this universe? Billions of light years. What's outside this universe? Who knows? We have an empty space, or is there something else out there? But it can go for eternity, eternity. There's no end. That's how vast the world is that is called the spirit world. The spirit world is beyond what we can understand. Let's turn to Matthew 25:41. And this is a reference to Lucifer and his fallen angels. Then shall he say also to them on the left hand, Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. You're going to have to make a decision there. Either the Bible is the Word of God, or if it is not the Word of God, then you and I have nothing to stand upon. If it is the Word of God, it is obvious we have a devil. We got fallen angels. And we got evil spirits. So you had to make up your mind. Is the Bible the Word of God? If it is, every verse counts. Every chapter counts. Evil spirits, also known as demons or devils, are different characters and different creatures in the spirit world. The Bible does not tell us their origin. They are evil, part of Satan's kingdom, and do not age. Evil spirits are real. I was born demon-possessed. And I had a very difficult childhood because I was very destructive. And I could be sweet as honey, and the next minute I was a raging idiot. I did not know why I was like this. I didn't want to be like this. I did a lot of destruction around. I would sabotage. I would throw things in the fire. I would just do meaningless vandalism. And I remember, and I'm going to share it with you to understand, I was in school. I started school in 1946. I started school at the age of 7. And in Sweden, which I was born, we had what you call it an hour a day where we simply had some kind of sports activity, gymnastics. And each one of our students, we had a bag, a little bag like this, and we had our gym shoes in there and on our clothing. And I tell you what, how you know, sophisticated we were, they were washed once a year. After the semester was over, you took it home and you washed it, then you brought it back in the fall, and you washed it at Christmas again, and then you washed it, so twice a year. So we had hallways in a school where I was. And there were little hooks, and you had the bags hanging there, and, you know, no one bothered somebody else's gym bag. So I decided one day, I was motivated by evil spirit, but I didn't know that I was going to go down. Now, our school was located close to a little river. And so I went down there, I think on a Saturday, something like this. In those days, they didn't lock the schools. I mean, you know, didn't have idiots like me. They didn't know that. So I went in there, and I probably spent an hour. I cleaned out every hallway, and I threw them in the river. And then I went home. No one found out I did it. Why did I do that? Destructive. Later on, as I came back to Christ, I was in church. We had church dinners. And I'm sitting here at church dinners, the pastor, pastor's wife, and people dressed up, you know, sophisticated people. And suddenly I hear a voice in me saying, you know, take that knife and you boom, hit the guy. And I said, oh my God. So what I did was this, I would sit on my hands. and singing, I'm not going to do that. I had a thought, take the salad bowl and just shove it in the face of that lady over there. I said, no. Jester, who was here 2 weeks ago, she had it. I remember we sitting in here and starting working with her. And she said, don't leave that pen there. I said, why? She said, I'm not good with pens. I want to stab somebody. That's why she read today, actually. Carol read today that she don't do that anymore. It's wonderful to be free of the demons. It's real. Now, I couldn't go to a pastor. I couldn't go and say, you know, I got these crazy thoughts in my mind. He would say, that's okay, John. Let's take you down to the mental clinic and you know, they take care of you. So a lot of people have this problem. But you don't talk about it. And so this is what we have in the demon world. I want to talk about the time in the spirit world right now. So we're going to go to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 7. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved to fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing. That one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. Now, if you look in your outline, one day with the Lord is 1,000 years. If we divide it up, 1 hour with God is 41.67 years. 1 minute with God is 8 months and 8 days. 1 second with God is 3 days and 22 hours. This is eternal time, which is different words. Now, I learned this 25, 30 years ago, that a demon, evil spirit, they don't have to eat food like we do. They don't have to sleep like we do. They don't get bored like we do. And an evil spirit can sit and watch a person for 20 years, 30 years, and just watching intently, looking for an opportunity to strike. How many pastors have you seen in the last 40 years go down, either alcohol, homosexuality, fornication, adultery, embezzlement. Some of the most well-known pastors were taken down. I know personally an Assembly of God pastor from Santa Rosa. This is back in 1975. They had a depression at the time, but God had used him. They had built a huge church. They had about maybe 5,000-6,000 people there. They had a Bible school. They had an agape ministry for young people. They had missionaries going out. They had everything going for them. And this pastor was married, good preacher. His wife was a choir leader. She brought the music in the church. Satan brought a woman from Colorado. She relocated to Santa Rosa. And she had given an assignment. This is witchcraft. An assignment to take down Pastor Argue. That's his name. And she joined the church. She got a job in the office. She's a good-looking woman. And she wasted herself. It took her a year or 2 years to get Pastor Argue in bed with her. That demon had been watching Pastor Argue for a long time. Just looking. And then something calling his supervisor saying, if I can get a woman in here, I can take that guy down. He did. He had to resign the church. They lost the building. and probably 4,000 out of 5,000 people will never again darken a church door. Dissolution. That demon probably got a promotion by the devil. Pastor Argue ended up in my and Ina's home about 4 or 5 years later. His wife, he relocated up to Sacramento. His wife called me one day. She'd heard about us. Now, Assembly of God people do not believe that the Christian can have a demon, so she couldn't go to that. So she went to us. She heard of us. Pastor Argue came over, and we spent the day with him and did a deliverance with him. We could repent. It was pitiful. This guy had a family, children, fantastic church. He was reduced to nothing. He threw it all away on a woman. Women are seduced by men. Men by women. The demon watching. Long time. Then they strike. When you think you're safe, that's where you're the most dangerous place. Remember this. There's no safe place on this earth. I want to talk to you now about time before Adam and Eve. Here's what I want you to think about. All of you have read the description in Genesis chapter 3 of Adam and Eve fell into sin, right? Think about this now. God, or Jesus, had not told Adam about Satan, fallen angels, demons. Adam knew nothing. All he knew was, I'm created, I got a garden, I got a wife, we have a good time. Jesus is coming down every night. I'm having a good time. And Satan came in. Eve did not know who this was. She thought it was a snake. But inside a snake was a devil. Eve went down because she had no knowledge. She could have survived by simply saying, wait a minute, don't talk to me. Let's get my husband. Talk to both of us. And Adam could have said, let me get Jesus. Let's find out what Jesus had to say. But they didn't do that. So remember this. You're doing good. You've been delivered. You're just flying high. And there's a demon watching you. And eventually, he'll begin to influence you. Remember this. The moment you begin to think about, that's where you stop. And say, no way. Let me give you a picture. Let's say that you have a big dog in your house. And your wife is making a nice roast. You could have it for dinner, Sunday dinner. And you're out in the yard working. And the wife has to go someplace. And she puts a roast on the table. And she tells that dog, don't you dare to touch that roast. She comes back, and the roast is not on the table anymore. It's in the stomach of the dog. You and I cannot resist temptation. In our flesh, we can't do that. I'm going to be talking later how we can resist. But you have to resist with the power of the Holy Spirit. The moment you try to resist with your intelligence, you're gone. Emotions make a man to do stupid things of a woman. And emotions have no intelligence. You know that when you get angry and you begin to throw things around and screaming, you know you're not very intelligent. It's intelligence and emotions do not work together. Let's turn to Job chapter 38. And we're going to read First 7 verses. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, Who is this that darken counsel by words without knowledge? Notice that now. Without knowledge. Gird up now your loins like a man. That means roll up your robe, because I had robes in the days. You can run. Gird up your loins like a man, for I will demand of you an answer to me. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Declare, if you have understanding. Who has laid the measures thereof, if you knowest? Or who has stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundation thereof fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. This passage tells us that the angels were created before anything else was created in our universe. They came first. And the Bible says that there is an enormous amount of angels that we cannot number them. The Bible cannot number them. Now turn to Isaiah now, chapter 14. We get some information now about Lucifer or the devil. Verse 14:12 of Isaiah. How are you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How are you cut down to the ground with the weakened nations? For you have said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in sight of the north. I will ascend above the height of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet you shall be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see you shall narrowly look upon you and consider you, saying, Is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that it shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness, and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened up the house of his prisoners? All the kings of the nation, he would all lie in glory, every one in his own house. But thou art cast out of your grave like an abominable branch, and the raiment of those that are slain. Thrust through with a sword, they go down the stones of the pit, as a carcass trodden in the feet. You shall not be joined with them in burial, because you have destroyed your land, slain your people. The seed of evildoers shall never be renowned. Now, this description here of Lucifer was given about 700 years before Christ. If we now turn to Ezekiel, we are jumping now about 100 years. 100 years later, we have in Ezekiel, chapter 28, and this is another revelation about Lucifer. And we pick it up here in verse number 11. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus is the Lord God, you seal up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Now, the king of Tyrus, or Tyre, was possessed by the devil. We know the devil can only be in one place at one time. We know he possessed the serpent. He possessed the king of Tyre. We know he possessed Judas Iscariot. And we know he's going to possess the Antichrist. But for the most other part, you and I never see the devil. He's high up. He's using his emissaries. Now, this is what God revealed here to Ezekiel. You have been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. The sardius, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, the carbuncle, and gold, the workmanship of your tablets, and your path were prepared in you in the day that you was created. He was created with music. God created music, and then he gave that gift to Lucifer. And Lucifer led in worship. Music will either attract the Holy Spirit or unholy spirit like demons. Music is vital. Then we read, you are the anointed cherub that covers, and I've set you so. You was upon a holy mountain of God. You have walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. You were perfect in the ways from the day that you were created till iniquity was found in you. By the multitude of your merchandise, they filled the midst of you with violence. You have sinned. Therefore, I will cast you as profane out of the mountain of God. I will destroy you, O covering cherub, for the midst of the stones of fire. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You have corrupted your wisdom by reason of your brightness. I will cast you to the ground. I will lay you before kings, that they may behold you. You have defiled your sanctuaries by the mouth of your iniquities, by the iniquity of your traffic. Therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of you. It shall devour you, and I will bring you to ashes upon the earth, in the sight of all them that behold you. All that did know you among the people shall be astonished at you. You shall be a terror, and never shall you be any more. And then I want to read from Revelation chapter 12. We're going to start in verse number 7. And there was war in heaven. Michael's angels fought against the dragon. The dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not. Neither was a place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent, called the devil and Satan, which deceives the whole world. He was cast out into the earth. And his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of the testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, you heavens, and you that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants on the earth and on the sea, for the devil has come down to you, having great wrath, because he knows that he has but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. Notice 9, verse number 12. Therefore rejoice, you heavens, and you that dwell in them. Now, if you flip over your outline, I'm going to give you some points here. And this is what I have deduced by evidence in the Bible. You might agree with me, might disagree, but at least check the scriptures out and look what I have deduced, and you will see what I think is correct. Now, I am trained in engineering. That's my, I had a degree in engineering, bachelor's degree, and I worked about 6-7 years in the field of engineering. So I use logic. I look at evidence. I don't look at the emotions. I put things together. So I want to give you a picture here now of the spirit world, what you and I are facing. Point number one, Lucifer was a ruling regent on the planet Earth. Prior to Adam and Eve, the Earth had people. There were cities. We're going to look at that. Point number two, the Earth was populated by people, but there's no reference as to who created them. Now, you read Ezekiel, you read Isaiah, and it says people. It doesn't say animals. People. Who were they? We don't know. Where did they go? Those on earth died after the space war or during the space war. So, prior to Adam and Eve, we had a civilization on the planet Earth. The Earth was divided up into different kingdoms which contained cities. So now, we know that the Earth had cities, nations, commerce. It was probably a very highly developed civilization. Point number four. Satan ruled over the kings and created a prison system whereby people had been sentenced to life imprisonment. The Bible says he wouldn't let his prisoner loose. Number five. Satan pitted kings against king, and the result was devastation. Cities were destroyed, the surface of the earth were destroyed, and became like a wilderness. Let me take you to World War II. Adolf Hitler, Nazi Germany, Joseph Stalin, the Soviet Union. Both men possessed by very high-powered demons. Both of them were in the kingdom of Satan. And they had them to fight one another. Number six. Since Lucifer was just one of the innumerable of angels created, it is fair to assume that the other angels were also given planets to develop, that including a population of people. This is my assumption there. There are lots of angels, and if God did this for Lucifer, most likely was done by other angels. Number seven, there must have been intergalaxy traveling, which indicates the angels had spaceships are capable of traveling faster than the speed of light. Now, our universe, as far as we know, is about 8 to 9 billion light years. I probably wrong a number. There are billions of light years. If you had a ship that could go the speed of light, 300,000 miles an hour, well, I'm wrong on that. That's kilometers. It would take a long time. Now, the light from the sun to the earth takes 8 minutes. When you see a sun ray, it started 8 minutes earlier. When we went to the moon, and some people said it didn't happen, but if you send something to the moon, it takes about 8 days for a spaceship traveling about 12,000 miles an hour to get to the moon. You can imagine now the speed which these angels are traveling. Remember Star Wars and so on? There's a lot of truth in that. They took stuff from the Bible. A lot of truth in Star Wars and Star Trek. They talk about warp speed. Let me take you quickly to 2 Kings chapter 2. Some of you probably going to be a little bit shook. That's all right. This had nothing to do with your salvation, so you're okay. 2 Kings chapter 2. I want to read from verse number 11. Picture now Elijah and Elisha. They did not know what electricity was. They never seen an airplane. They basically knew ships, winds, water power. They lived, you know, Stone Age, or let's when we go camping, but now we have lights, but it's stuff like this. But no electricity. So here's now Elijah and Elisha walking. And Elijah said, if you see me taken away, you get the blessing. So he's walking. Suddenly now, Elisha sees some kind of I don't know what it is. Light, the chariots of God. Wow. And then he sees Elijah being beamed up. And then his mantle fall off. How's a God like that described that when you know nothing? Let's read it. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that, behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder, and Elijah went up by the whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariots of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw no more, and he took hold of his own clothes and rent them into pieces. Now, what did they tell people in seminary when you go there to get a degree in theology? They tell you this. Don't believe this here. I mean, Elisha's writing something down. I mean, that didn't happen. That's just, you know, don't worry about that. That didn't happen. It did happen. An angelic spaceship visited Ezekiel. Let's turn to Ezekiel. If you ever read that, it's amazing. Now, if I can get you, Grandpa, out of the grave, well, great-grandfather out of the grave, those fought in the American Civil War. We can get him up here today, and we would set a computer in front of him on the screen and say, hey, Grandpa, describe this. I don't know. There's some kind of a picture, some kind of case. What's inside that box? Oh, we got some chips in there. We got a motherboard, and we got a few other things. What's a motherboard? But describe it, Grandpa, great-grandpa. He says, I got nothing to compare it with. You got to understand, when the Bible's written, they saw things that they did not know existed in the regular world, so they could not describe it technically. So they used what they could. Ezekiel chapter 1, I'm going to read a couple of verses here. In verse number 4, and I looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud, and a fire enfolding itself, and a brightness was about it, and out of the midst thereof as a color of amber out of the midst of the fire. He was describing some kind of a spaceship that was simply coming down. And he saw the fire, this and that, as they were breaking the speed. And also out of the midst thereof came the likeness of four living creatures. And this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man. And every one had four faces, and every one had four wings. And their feet were straight feet. The sole of their feet was like the sole of a calf's hoof. And it sparkled like the color of a burnished brass. And they had the hands of a man on their wings, on their four sides, and the four had faces and their wings. Their wings were joined to one another. They turned not when they went every one straight forward. And then he goes down and describes the wheels and so on, what they had. Now, you go to a seminary and you say, hey, professor, what are we doing about Ezekiel chapter 1? Oh, he would tell you, Ezekiel, you know, he'd eaten some mushrooms. And he didn't know what he was doing, you know, he was just imagining things. Did you know that in seminaries, they do not believe the book of Revelation? I was told that the book of Revelation was a book written in code. The Apostle John was sitting on a prison island. He wanted to communicate with the church at Ephesus, and in order to get stuff out in front of the guards, guards would not stop it, he had to write his writing in code. And that's the book of Revelation, folks. And so the Ephesians got it, and they read it, and they were able to decipher it. If you believe that, I got a bridge in San Francisco that I want to sell to you for cheap. Now, then we had a 1947 technology transfer. We do know this, that we have crashed UFOs. We do know that the U.S. government took possession of them. We do know they have done reverse engineering. We do know they exist. But why do we have a resistance in the churches? Because, you see, if you accept angels, demons, spaceships, and space war, then you also got to accept the Holy Spirit. And most denominations say, we do not believe the Holy Spirit is here today, because when John packed his suitcases and went to heaven, he packed in the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is gone. All we got today is a Bible, but we don't have the Holy Spirit. We don't have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The modern church cannot accept a spirit world. They are social engineers, simply mechanically running a church, and they cannot have miracles. Let me move on. Point number 8. Lucifer must have traveled to every angel civilization before the war in heaven and trying to convince them to join his cause and dethrone God. One third of the angels sided with Lucifer. Turn to Revelation 12:3. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads, 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his head. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, did cast them to the earth, and the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. Angels are called sons of God, stars. So one third of the angels fell. How long does this last? We don't know. The world before Adam and Eve, our universe, could have existed for millions of years. We do not know. Now, the recreation, I'm not getting into that today, but the account in Genesis chapter 1 is about the recreation after the space war, when the earth was destroyed, and God recreated the earth. The Bible tells us that at that time, God took the land that was dry and sank it down, and he took the ocean floors and put it up. So we are walking on virgin land. If the land would have been left of the cities and stuff that they had before Adam and Eve, we would have found it, and we would have made a mess. The angels, point number 9, that sided with Lucifer, started to produce spaceships of war, armed with weapons, more powerful than anything mankind had to offer. A basis assumption upon the account of the angel who used his staff to incinerate Gideon's offering. And turn out to Judges chapter 6, and we pick it up in verse number 17. And he said unto me, if I now have found grace in your sight, then show me a sign that you talked with me. Depart not hence, I pray you, until I come unto you and bring forth my present and set it before you. And he said, I will tarry until you come again. He was talking to Jesus here. And Gideon went in, made ready a kid, that's a goat, unleavened cakes of an ephah of flour. The flesh he put in a basket, he put the broth in a pot, and brought it out unto him under the oak and presented it. And the angel of God said unto him, take the flesh and the unleavened cakes, lay them upon his rock, and pour out the broth. And he did so. Then the angel of the Lord put forth the end of the staff that was in his hand, touched the flesh and the unleavened cakes, and there rose up fire out of the rock, consumed the flesh and the unleavened cakes. Then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. Now, how would Gideon know this? We've never seen electricity, nothing. Here is this angel. He has some kind of a staff. Psh! He torched it. Let me take you to 1947, the spaceship that was crashed in New Mexico. As the American technicians, these were airmen that came in there, they found some kind of a device, looked like this. They picked it up, and they said, hey, they pushed the button. Whew, there's a red spot over there. That's weird. So they took it, and they put it on their hand, and it burned. That's how we discovered a laser. Had the technology existed before? Of course. Electricity has always existed on this earth. But that's what we discovered. So the angel didn't say to Gideon, you know, just put the stuff over here. I got my laser here, you know, I'm just going to torch it. Gideon described it the best he could. Back to the outline now. Part number 10. God knew that Lucifer would rebel and recruit other angels. So he ordered Mike and his angels to prepare a space fleet to counter the attack by Lucifer and his fallen angels. Now, all of this is based upon the scriptures I read before. It does say that Michael made war. It doesn't say that Michael simply sailed out in outer space and he blew upon Lucifer and he disappeared. That's a war. Real stuff. Point 11. Lucifer's space armada from the different galaxies gathered and set course for the city of God. They wanted to go outside because that's where the city of God is. They were met by Michael and his ships. Lucifer was forced to retreat as successes of battle were fought from galaxy to galaxy as each hostile planet was involved and subdued. Lucifer's last stand took place in our solar system, and then he was taken captive. World War II, we went to war with Japan, and we did what they called island hopping. Before we could get to Japan, we had to take island after island after island. We finally got to Japan, and then we dropped two nukes on them, and they surrendered. Take a look upon the moon. Get some pictures of the moon. How does that surface look like? Destroyed. Craters. Look at Pluto. Look at some of the other planets that we can see. There are pictures of. Destroyed. The battle was in this last solar system. And this is where, finally, Lucifer was destroyed, taken captive, and taken to court. Part number 12. Lucifer and his fallen angels were sentenced to the lake of fire at the subsequent trial. I'm going to read now from Romans chapter 3 and verse 21. But now the righteousness of God without law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, and to all and upon all that believe, for there is no difference. Being justified freely by his grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believes in Jesus. Summarizing this now, as the war ended, there was a trial. World War II ended. There was a trial at Nuremberg in Germany 2 years after the war was over. And they judged, they had a trial for the Nazi war criminals, officers, prison guards, and so on. At this trial, we know that Lucifer had been sentenced to the lake of fire. We know that. We don't know anything about the trial. But we know this, that God is proving his righteousness. Why? would God create Adam and Eve, the garden, beautiful, put a tree in there and said, now don't eat that. Everything else is good. And then let Lucifer come in and tempt them. Why would God do that? It doesn't make sense. He should have been thrown in like a fire. But he appealed, just like people appeal in courts today. Your sentence, you appeal to a higher court. And Lucifer appealed and said, how can a loving God cast his creatures into everlasting punishment? You heard that today from many people. They say, I can't believe in God. How can God cast it forever, torment them forever? You heard that. It's for the devil. So you and I, we were created to prove God's righteousness. Now you and I have more chance to fight than Adam and Eve. We know from the Bible what happened in the past. Technology-wise, we know pretty much we have lasers, we got spaceship, we got this, we got that. To us, the technology is not that far out. We have that. It's easier today to believe these things in the Bible because where we live and what we have done. Let me give you a final scripture here from John 14. And Jesus said this, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. Mansion here means dwelling places. In my Father's house, the universe, are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So this is what I want you to take home today. Realize the spirit world is real. It is vast. We got billions and billions of angel civilizations. The planet Earth is the place where God's righteousness is being proved. There are television cameras trained upon Earth. In the heavenly network, angels, people on other planets are watching. They are different time than you and I. Remember that? David, Lord, is 1,000 years. We're only now 6 years into the after Adam we were created. They're looking down. They saw Adam and Eve fall. They seen Israel, Moses. They saw Jesus came down incarnated. They saw the crucifixion. They saw the resurrection. They saw the church birthed. And they have seen the church sputtering all these years. And every time somebody is saved, it shows God's righteousness. Now, the devil doesn't like that. So what he wants to do is simply this. He wants to destroy your testimony. He wants to put you in the mud. He wants to get you down in the muck and mire and make you filthy. So when the television crews from heaven are watching you, they see this creature that was saved, but in the muck and mire and just sinning and just full of demons. That's the battle. That's what we're up against. If you know your enemy, you can begin to fight intelligently. And so this message is to show you how vast the spirit world is. It's a reality. And you and I should simply say this, I need to stay close to Jesus. And I need the Holy Spirit 24/7 in order to survive, and not only survive, but to fight, to win. We can be victorious. That's what my goal is, for a revival, awakening, when we are victorious. Every time we do a deliverance, That's victory. But as we told people this, it is hard to go through deliverance, but it's much harder to keep your deliverance. So this is where we're at. We're in a battle. So now, some of you that have been watching today, you said, I'm not saved. How do I get in? This is how you get in. Just confess that you're a sinner. Simply say, God, I need to be saved. I believe that Jesus died on the cross for me, rose on the third day, and he took away my sins. He paid for them. Come on in, Jesus, and save me. And you will be saved. When we finish here, the screen finishes, we're going to go into singing, but you're not going to see that. But when we go into our singing, the screen will change. Three crosses will come up on your screen, and you will hear the very soothing voice of Pastor Charles Terrell saying, my friend. And he will take a few minutes to go through the plan of salvation with you and pray with you so you can know you get saved. If you get saved today, would you call us, write us? I'd like to know. I'd like to rejoice with you. To those of you that are saved, I pray right now that you will go home and this week check out all the scriptures I used today. Look upon the outline. Pray over it. And then ask God to simply say this, God, give me an understanding of the spirit world so that I can fight it and be victorious and not be beaten up all the time. And also, purchase this book today, the Kabbalah book number 6, the Illuminati Writers and the Revolutions, that will tell you what happens today, took place 1848. It's just a repeat. May God bless you. I hope that you will study and simply say, I'm not going to get scared. I'm mad. I know what's going on. And I want to learn more so I can fight better. Praise God. Brother Thomas, you come in close.
Father God, thank you for the word that was spoken here today. We thank you, Father God, for knowledge and understanding of the way things are right now, the way things have been, and the way things are going to be. We thank you, Father God, that we have the Bible, which is huge, that we're not left in the dark, but we have light shining on us, Lord. And we lift up the situation in the United States right now, where there is mass deception and there is organized chaos. And we come against that in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father God, for peace to reign and not violence. We thank you, Father, for opening up the eyes of understanding and that people will be able to weed through the lies and come to the truth, Lord. And I'm reminded of, I believe it is the Israeli Mossad, that their motto is, by deception we wage war. So that's they might as well have taken that straight from the devil. So by deception, let us be vigilant to weed through the deception, recognizing that the Bible is 100% truth. We thank you for that. Thank you for blessing each person that tuned in and each person that showed up. You have to show up to the showdown to be effective. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth, and your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are, you've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person. Doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you 3 questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything? Even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all 3 questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these 3 questions are but 3 of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7 through 8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are 3 places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of 2 places, heaven or hell. God did not send His Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." You see, God offers His love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward Him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, He will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, He will do for you. If you call out to Him, He will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All He wants for you is to come to Him. He will help anybody who calls out to Him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, He will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to Him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that you would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now, and I put my faith in you. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that you paid for my sins on the cross through your shed blood, and that you died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank you for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with you. Help me to be obedient and to walk with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever.
You have been listening to the weekly webcast of Pastor John S. Terrell. This message was the second part in the series, The Demonic World, and was entitled, The Great Space War. Lucifer was the ruler of the earth before the war in heaven. Prior to Adam and Eve, this planet was populated with cities and kingdoms, and he created devastation by pitting these people against each other, causing the earth to become like a wilderness. Lucifer also traveled to every angel civilization and convinced one-third of the angels to join his cause of dethroning God. A succession of battles was fought across the universe, and the space war ended with Lucifer's final stand on earth. The Bible doesn't give a timeline for these events, but we know that Lucifer was sentenced to the lake of fire, and humanity was created afterwards. Christians need to understand the greatness of God, the vastness of our universe, and the role mankind plays in proving the righteousness of God to all the creatures of the spirit world. We have nothing to brag about, and should be thankful that our eternity in heaven is secure. This message is available on CD and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 1758. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can read insightful articles, watch or listen to a sermon broadcast, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to European American Evangelistic Crusades, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.